coming of age. What is it all about? Many faith traditions offer a ceremony and celebration to mark young people as they take a move from their childhood into adulthood, and more importantly, a more active role in our community. Judaism offers young people a bat or a bar mitzvah, and many Christian churches offer confirmation. We Unitarians have the coming of age program, in which we invite junior high youth, typically 13 to 15 years old, a chance to learn more about Unitarian Universalist core values, while also examining other faith traditions' practice. This is done alongside adult mentors who come from our congregation and are matched with the youth. Together, they attend 8 months of classes, get to know each other, and perform a community service project of their own choosing. We gather here today to hear each youth's faith statement of what they believe is important to them right now. Now, Elizabeth and I guided this class in the exploration of many lighthearted topics, such as what is the nature of good and evil, life, death, and what, if anything, comes after, and Jesus, who do you say I am? Now, with such weighty topics, you might think that our discussions with a class composed of almost 30 people might be horribly difficult. But we found that everyone had something to say or to write. The collage depicting images of death and dying from our print media was a wonderful exploration of a most difficult topic. I think that was the class that we had to cut off the discussion at 9 o'clock at night to get everyone out the door on time. It was really amazing. The Jesus graffiti over here was a true UU exercise laying bare all the competing views and opinions about Jesus the man and Jesus the spiritual leader. Finally, I think hosting our coming-of-age youth today offers all of us hope, not only for our long-term future, but hope right here, right now, living, breathing, playing among us. Many of the youth will continue to attend BOOF for a few more years before going off to school or to work. I want to encourage all of you to listen carefully to them today. Get to know them. Include them in your planning and your activities that go on here all the time. They're a strong presence among us, and they have a lot to teach us. So, it's my pleasure to turn over the rest of the program to the coming-of-age youth. I do want to ask that normally we try not to applaud during our worship service, but these kids really deserve it. So, if you get that urge, just hold it until they've all completed their presentations. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carol Severe. It was my pleasure to be a mentor for Lily Buechler. Lily, the daughter of Walter Buechler and Dottie Douglas, is an amazing young woman. She's an eighth grader at North Junior High. She excels in math and science. She was recently qualified to play in the state lacrosse championship, or the state lacrosse team. She also plays the cello. She has a commitment to the environment, as do I. And so for our first service project, we did some volunteer work at the Wildlife Spring Fling at the Foothills Learning Center. Probably the most memorable portion of that was facilitating an activity where people matched the rubber scat with the picture of the animal. always a good thing to know. So, okay, all right. I must say that with young people such as Lily, our future is in very good hands. So, again, it's been my pleasure. Lily.
My family and I have been coming to BOOF on and off for quite a while. Gradually, we've become more and more connected with it. Before I started coming of age, I didn't really think much about what I believed in. I'm still unsure of the more religious aspects of believing, like God and afterlife. but I think that understanding your own values and sticking to them is the way to then ponder those harder ideas. When I think of Boof, one of the first things that pops into my head is how we should all be open-minded. Before I came to Boof, I didn't really think about it that much, even though it was a value I believed in. Now I realize how much Boof practices it. This is pretty much the first and third of the UU principles. The first one says, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And the third one says, acceptance of one another and encouragement of spiritual growth in our congregations. When my friends or anyone asks about my beliefs, they ask, so, do you believe in God? I say my church is, as a whole, is open-minded, and they really don't care if you believe in God or not. They always say, that's awesome. I really like not having to believe in a set course of ideas, and that's why I think this program is a really good idea. What I don't understand with stricter religions is that they sort of tell you what to believe, but some of them also say you should find your way to God, or find out what God means to you. My friend was participating in a similar program at a different church. It was pretty much the same as ours. They did a service project. They had mentors. They met and had discussions. But the purpose of the program really wasn't to try to figure out what they believed in. In that program, they sort of told you what was right and then let you vary a little. I'm really glad that I go to a church where they don't tell you what to believe. I also think taking care of the environment is also very important. The last UU principle sums it up pretty nicely. It says, the respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. What most people don't realize, and what our ancestors haven't realized, is that it really is interdependent. We hurt everything, even other people, and ourselves in the long run by hurting the environment right now. There isn't a need to do it, and it's not that hard to prevent. Destroying this planet is definitely something we will regret. Well, actually our descendants will regret it for us if we continue down the route we are now taking. Right now, I don't think I believe in something really specific when I think of God. I like to think of God as something more general, sort of like an idea. Not really as one being. To me, it's sort of like the idea of right and wrong. But God really isn't very important in my life right now. The meaning of God for someone is something that I don't think can be determined at age 14, after a few months of classes, but I'm slowly forming an idea in my head. I thought about a lot of things I hadn't bothered thinking about through this coming-of-age class.
So this is Everett Smith. He obviously needed more mentors than the average. Oh, and I've known Everett since I guess before he was born. He's the daughter of their son. Yeah, right. Yeah, good. I have daughters. Yeah, okay. Whoops. All right. So let's start that again. So
you were not supposed to talk about
that. Well, it's his feminine side we're trying to get. All right. I'm gonna try to get cool again. He's the son of two of my oldest friends in Idaho, Deanna and Rachel Smith. And I have known him since he was young, and since Elia, my daughter, is also 13, they've grown up together. But I have to also say that for, you know, the last few years, you know, as Everett's been very busy doing all kinds of other things, and it's that age, I haven't really had the opportunity to know him. And it's been just such a treat over the last 8 months to get that opportunity to do so. He's really become I think he's always been kind of an old soul, and he's been a thoughtful guy with also he's also learning that understated humor of his dad, although he doesn't have quite the capacity yet. But I think he's getting it. The other thing that's been a treat in this whole process is that I've gotten to work with my nephew, Anthony, who's going to take over on this introduction here quick. But that's also been a treat because then we've taken all these subjects and discussions, you know, going forward and had them ourselves and then come back and had more of them with Everett. So,
all right. I guess the first thing I just wanted to talk about was the service project that we did. Everett is involved with a lot of sports, and he's super booked and all these things, but we made time to go down to the Boise Bicycle Project, which is a not-for-profit program that works to get bicycles out to the community because they're a good resource for everybody to have access to. Everett was interested in that program pretty much from the initial mention of it, and I think that was part of the drive to get me involved as one of his mentors. So we went down and we did that, and I think that sort of just led on to the fact that even though Everett's involved in a lot of really school-oriented things, average things for being a 13-year-old, that he's also thinking outside of the box and interested in expanding beyond that. So I think with that in mind, it was really nice to be able to watch him culminate some of these ideas and put them into words, as he'll mention, going from a big noodly mess in his head into something to present to everybody else. And then the other thing, besides getting to work with both of these guys together, was that it was a good reminder for what it was like to be 13 and kind of review from a slightly different perspective. So I think we all taught each other a lot, and Everett's going to tell you about what he learned. There you go,
buddy. All right. Instead of growing up with a specific set of guidelines as to what I should believe, like many other people do in other religions or circumstances, I had much more freedom. The result is that I get to believe what I truly want, but instead of being neatly written, it's contained in a huge mess in my head. Although what I've been able to take from that huge mess is that I don't believe in any one religion at all, even though they all contain some great principles and have led many people through well-lived lives. I also don't have a clue what will happen to me when I die, so all I can believe in is leaving more good than bad behind in this world. But what is good and what is bad? How do I find the line that separates the two? Is it what some higher, more powerful being tells me? No. Is it what some book written long ago says? No. Is it a way of life with set rules that has been prescribed to me before I was even born? No. To me, good is having perseverance, especially in the toughest of times, being truthful to those that matter to me and the ones that don't. You should spend time with your family and give to relationships that you receive from. If someone else has little or none, then you should share some of yours, whatever it may be. Don't deal out shallow insults or acts of violence, because while it may have taken a second to happen, it can last forever. Live your life to the fullest, but not by bringing harm to others. That is good, and so are many other things that will come with experience and time. But for now, I will try my best to bring good into the world, because for all I know, this life could be it, a moment of light before we fizzle out, and all we get to decide is how bright our moment will be.
I've had the pleasure during this project of working with Elia Sherman. She's the daughter of Kathy and Roger Sherman, and her family is very present today, as you've all seen. And obviously, through her bright smile, what you're first struck with when you meet Elia is an amazingly beautiful heart and a true kindness to others. And that was demonstrated in the service project that she chose. And as you will hear momentarily, she is very, very wise beyond her years.
What do I believe? This is a question that has been spinning through my head all year. Although I haven't totally figured it out, I do know the main principles of what I believe. First of all, what you believe is learned from experience. I know for a fact that I will have plenty of experiences in my life, and those will help me have a better understanding of what I believe, and those will help me feel complete. Although some people believe in a god or goddess, I believe that everyone has a little bit of God in them. Meaning all of us have good in us, and we all have our individual talents. I mean, come on. No one is perfect. To put my faith in action, I try not to engage in gossip, be the peacemaker, and help other people in bad situations. Although I can't help the whole world, I can try to make my school life or family life a little bit better. At my age, I don't have a full understanding of what I believe or if my views will change, but I do have values that will keep my overall concepts straight. Like the usual honesty, respect, perseverance, and compassion. For me, church has taught me to have an open mind, no matter what race, disability, or sexual orientation you have. I will know when I feel complete or know what I believe when the time comes. Who knows when that day will come, or if it will come gradually. But for now, I'm just a normal 13-year-old doing things a normal 13-year-old does. Thank you very much to my family, Charisse, and my mentor, and to Elizabeth.
Good morning. My name is Joe Wexelberger, and it's my pleasure to introduce Patrick Pinkerton, who is the son of Barbara and Pat Pinkerton. This is my second tour of duty as a coming-of-age mentor, and so I can definitely say that this group of young people is within my top two of favorites. For our service project, Patrick and I did a couple of things. We shoveled snow out here for the Christmas Eve service, and then we both volunteered down at the Ark, which was really a lot of fun. And in the time, I got to know Patrick, and he's just a really energetic young man, and it's wonderful. I've had interaction with both of his older brothers, and so when I was told that Patrick was going to be my protege, I was really excited. And I have to tell you, he does not disappoint.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. All right. Say in the microphone, it sounds better. All right. My name is Patrick Pinkerton. I've been at Booth for as long as I can remember. And we started coming regularly when my oldest brother, Abbott, and was in about third or fourth grade. My older brother, David, was in kindergarten, and I was still in diapers. I believe that religion is a way for people to explain the unexplainable. Believing in God and going to heaven when you die is a way to raise hope for people all across the world. For me, I believe that living life to the fullest is the only way to go. I believe that thinking too much about religion is something that doesn't need to be done. Some people say that I'm an atheist, but I'm not. An atheist is someone who doesn't believe that there is a God. I am just someone who doesn't like to think about it. I believe that what is really important in life is what you have right in front of you. You have a good family or supportive friends, so why can't you just live your life and cherish everything that you have? If you want to think about all those big questions, well, great, but I believe that there are even more important things to worry about in life. For me, it could be a huge test on Friday, or it could be something much more important than that. But don't waste your time on Earth worrying about what will happen outside of it. Just live your life and roll with the punches.
Hi, my name is April Ward, and I had the great pleasure of working with Sarah Schaff. And her parents are over here, Howard and Rhonda. And I just have to say that Sarah is such an amazing person, and her parents are an inspiration to me also as a young mother, because her life experiences exceed my own. So I don't know who is the mentor in our relationship. Starting at a very young age, Sarah had the opportunity to travel around the world working with organizations like Habitat for Humanity. She's an avid tennis player. She goes to Florida for a camp every year, and it's the camp where most of the pro tennis players also played when they were Sarah's age. And so, again, she's just such a wonderful person. She's also had the opportunity to work through her school with refugees in the past, which is what we chose as our service project, because her school kind of gave her some interest in working towards that. So, again, Sarah had had more experience in that arena than I had. And Betsy Dunklin was very gracious in helping us to organize that and to meet a family from another country, and we're trying to help them. So it's been great. And without further ado, here's Sarah.
Hi, my name is Sarah Schaff, and I'm 13 years old. I've been attending the Unitarian Universalist Church since I was born in Twin Falls, Idaho. Throughout my years in the UU Church, I have been taught and learned many concepts and about different beliefs and religions. Throughout my credo, I will be recognizing what my beliefs are and how they will change as I grow through the UU Fellowship and how UU has shaped who I am today. The UU Church has always encouraged me to pick my own path in life and find what I believe in. We have talked about God a number of times. I believe that there is some higher power, but not necessarily God like the Father of Jesus. I like to connect it more as a spirit, and there's something out there, but I don't exactly know or understand what. There are many different views on your afterlife, or what happens to you when you die. Some people believe in heaven and hell, and others don't. I believe there could be somewhere you go when your time comes, but not heaven with the golden gates, and not down in hell with the devil. I think it's possible we could be brought or made into something else when we die. I don't really know, but I have my thoughts. The Unitarian Church is a very open-minded and accepting fellowship. For me, this has made me more aware of other cultures and religions. It has definitely played a role and shaped who I am as a more accepting and open-minded person. Ever since I was born and attending the fellowship, I have always thought as I get older and am able to make my own decisions, I would like to come and be a member as an adult. My mom grew up Catholic, and my dad grew up Jewish, and I've always known a little bit about each. I know when I'm older, I'd like to carry on some of the Jewish traditions I do now and some of the Catholic I do till later in my life, but still attend the UU Fellowship. When I was 4, I took my first Habitat for Humanities trip with my family. We took a trip to Guatemala for 2 weeks and helped build houses for 2 or 3 families. Ever since then, I've returned to Guatemala once and then last August to Bolivia. Those service learning projects have shaped who I am and my beliefs. In our classes coming of age, we did a service learning project with our mentors. Mine involved a project about refugees and their experiences. Betsy Dunklin, a member of the UU, has offered to help me. I had the chance to meet a family from Nepal. They were learning how to clean houses. For part of my service learning, I thought that if there's anyone who would like to help this family and have your house cleaned as a practice house, please talk to Betsy. I know they would really appreciate it. I understand that as I get older, my beliefs and thoughts will strengthen and change. But at the moment, where I am now is what I see myself to extend through later in life. And a special thanks to my brother, Brad, for coming. I really admire you.
Hi, I'm George Reno, and this is Michael Duke, my mentee. And what I can say about Michael is I think I remember when you were born. And the parents, Steve and Dina, are very good friends of mine. And so I've known Michael just not in this particular youth group setting. I've also spent time with Michael in the past. And Michael has always impressed me in the sense of he's a reflective person. And he doesn't respond immediately. He takes time to think about something. He's circumspect in his words, and I've learned that if Michael does say something, it has weight. I would say you could take to the bank, but he thinks about what he says, and I really admire that. So for our service project, we had a great day. We took a drift boat and we floated about 6 miles of the Snake River and played garbage man, picking up all the beer cans and trash along the riverbank. And when we got down to the end of the 6 miles, I turned to Michael and said, "Now, Michael, we only got the one bank. There's the 6 miles on the other side." No, that's not true. But I thought about it. So I'm done here and turn it over to Michael.
Okay. So before I read my credo, I must warn you that it is brutally honest. Okay. To me, faith is what you believe. You can have faith in your favorite sports team to win, or have faith in that your mom has packed anything but a ham sandwich for lunch. But the type of faith I'm here to talk today to you about is much bigger and grander than that. Religion started out humble with an honest following, but now I see it as propaganda. With people out there going on missions, trying to convert others to the religion, it defeats the purpose of faith, what you believe. Your faith should be personal because it is what you believe in. I'm not the kind of person to stand up in front of a church crowd and state my faith, I will tell you that. But I believe that faith is something that you have to acquire, and my faith has not been found yet. It is waiting for me to realize it and embrace it, but for right now, it is out there in the outer reaches of my brain, waiting for me to discover it. Or maybe the way my life is now is my faith. Maybe my faith is absolutely nothing. I have been at Booth for a few years as a small child, but I barely remember anything from those years. I then went to a Methodist church, which I must say I did not enjoy until 2 years ago. But Booth is a part of me. It is where I was dedicated at the age of 4 months, and where I come on most Sundays, whether I like it or not. This is the kind of church to find faith in, but I haven't found something that sings to me quite yet. So I hereby declare that I, Michael Duke, believe in absolutely nothing. If you aren't missing something, then why look for it? My life is fine, just the way it is without beliefs. That doesn't mean that my mind isn't open. I'm just not really searching for my faith right now, as you can see. I think that I've taken the Unitarian experience for granted. We are always learning about different religions, as to where we would not if we were members of another church. I've always seen Booth as something that takes my time on Sunday when I could be doing homework or hanging out with friends, as I've used those excuses many times. But I think that just recently I realized the opportunities that I've been missing. And I admit that as I'm writing this 30 minutes before it is supposed to be due, I'm realizing that instead of shying away from what Booth teaches me, I can learn and grow from it. I'm in no rush whatsoever to find faith, and maybe I'm even procrastinating when I should be searching my inner soul. It might be out there, it might not, but I sure don't have it yet. And I might keep whining when I should be getting ready for church, but that doesn't mean that I'm not still searching for my faith.
I'm Marcia Lyons, and I had the privilege of working with Riley Jack during the Coming of Age program this year. What I would say about Riley, and oh, I wanted to say, I didn't say this, Riley's actually going twice. So kudos to Riley for that. I did not mention last time, so I get to redo it, that she is the daughter of Sandy Jack, who has been a big part of our fellowship for many years now. And Riley, you know, I was thinking, about how would I describe Riley? And Riley is different. Riley is a person, when I first met her, I thought, there's something different. She's special. What is it? And I realized, after a little while, what I'd say about her is that she doesn't have a mean bone in her body. She is one of those people who is truly kind, truly courteous, and truly thoughtful of others. She's also very smart, and it's important for you to know about Riley before she shares her thoughts that she's an athlete, and her sport is soccer, and she's very passionate about it. It means a lot to her. And so I think many of us who are passionate about something, we get a lot of meaning out of that. And so she has, I think, extracted some really special meaning from her experience in soccer, which is what she's going to share with you today. She's in eighth grade. She goes to school in Eagle. And without further comment, I'll turn it over to Riley.
We were given this assignment to write our life's credo. What's important to us, what we value, and what we think about life. Now, I'm a soccer player, and to help me sort out these huge questions, I started to play around with a soccer ball. As I was juggling, I realized life is like a game of soccer. You always have to give your best. The same applies for life. You have to be able to rely on others. In life, you can't do everything alone. Winning isn't nearly as important as how much heart you put into the game. Life isn't always about how well you do, but how hard you try. We all have individual talents, but they're only as good as they serve the team or the community. In soccer, you have to know when to keep the ball and when to pass it. In life, you have to know when to help and when to get help. When you have a chance to shoot, don't wait. You might regret it. As in life, when you have a chance to do something great, take the chance. You might not have the opportunity again. Juggling requires balance. Like in soccer, life requires balance. There's no shame in taking breaks. That will make you strong. Sometimes, you just have to relax. Practicing hard will help you win the game. Working hard in life will help you reach your goals. The game is never the same. You have to be flexible with the outcome. Life is unpredictable. You have to be flexible with the way things turn out. Soccer isn't always fair or rational. In life, things aren't always going to go your way. It's something you have to live with. The refs don't always know what they're doing. You might not agree with authority, but you still have to live by their rules. Celebrate the victories and learn from the losses. When something good happens, celebrate. When something bad happens, learn from the mistake and move on. Soccer is all about winning as a team. We can all do more together. Soccer has taught me a lot of great life lessons, and that is what I'm sharing with you today. In life, we all have mentors and leaders. One of my mentors, and the inspiration for the speech, is my coach, Marco. Thank you, Marco.
let me tell you how the rest of the service is going to go. I'm going to invite the youth up in just a moment because we really do have to applaud them. This is one of the most wonderful parts of my job is that I get to do this. And after that, we will have the offering, and Hans will be playing for us. And then we'll move immediately to the extinguishing of the chalice. Many of us are sorry not to be able to sing our last hymn, but we do have to relieve the Sunday school teachers. So I'd like to invite up first the youth who have spoken this service. Please come up. Stand around me, please. Those of you who were in the second service, those of you who have just... You can get on the other side of me, too. My right side is okay, you know.
Stay on the left side. Stick with your beliefs.
Okay, Patrick. Good idea to stick with your beliefs. Isn't this a fabulous bunch of people? Let's hear it for them. And now I'd like to invite the youth who spoke. Stay up here. Everybody, so we're all up here at once. Come on. Those who are left were the youth that spoke at the first service. Come up so you can all see them. What a wonderful, wonderful group of junior high folks this is. And let's hear it for all of these kids.
What does that do?